Hey Ben.
Hey Michael.
Welcome to Brain Exchange. I'm going to welcome you personally and the listeners this time.
Thanks Michael. Yeah, welcome listeners, especially.
We're back in the office, and if Craig does his schedule as we requested, we might actually get it by the first Sunday of the month.
Yeah. Well, we've done our part by coming in before the first Sunday of the month. Just.
So you can only hope Craig does the same.
Just.
You know, I just overtook you in Far Cry gaming hours.
Yeah, I got an email. And
do you get emails of
when Raptor sends me a notification every time any of my friends overtake me in a game, because then I know I have to get on my computer and start playing that game.
Log up more hours.
Yeah. Although, I don't think I'm ever going to overtake Koo in Ragnarok Online.
Mm. That's actually depressing what's happened with your friend Koo and Ragnarok Online too. I wish I never introduced Bevan and Koo to that game.
It's kind of my fault because I got him to download it. Mm. I was like, oh yeah, we'll all play it. It'll be fun. And then it was a really shit game, and unfortunately Koo kept playing
it. That game greatly disappointed me, to be honest. I was expecting kind of a nostalgic effect from Ragnarok Online 1, something unique.
Yeah.
So much more they could have done with that game. But nah. Let me down.
I just thought it would be more like the first one.
Mm.
Like, just killing boring. I liked the first one. Had a lot of fun in that. And now second one, it was just
wow, but worse.
Yeah.
Better. Also, we did get Far Cry 3.
Yeah.
Which is
the more important thing we're thinking about. See, I bought that because I'd spend all that time playing Ragnarok Online 2. I'm like, oh, I really need to play a good game now to get me out of that bad game.
Mm. Did I tell you,
Have you completed it yet?
No.
Not yet.
But, listener, in case you're not aware, Far Cry 3 is a game, and a lot of it is involved around stealth combat.
Yeah, listeners, just if you don't know, that in context, in case you don't know, it's a game.
Yeah, this next bit's important. did I tell you about what happened with my girlfriend, Brie, in the kitchen? So basically, she was making a cake, and the blender's going, and I, like, look around the corner, and I see her. She's like, doesn't see me. And I've got kind of open kitchen arrangement. So it's like dive down underneath the like front kitchen bench area and do this like Far Cry crawl and then come around the corner of the kitchen bench and peek my head round and just stare at her for a good minute or so. And she walked past like a mindless guard in a video game, literally looked at my face and just didn't register that I was there. And then kept cooking, and I just like jump up and then do a takedown. I was like, hi. And then she was like, fully freaked out and was like, I didn't see you, but kind of reassured my faith in games.
Yeah, that the human brain, maybe the game is more realistic than it seems.
Yeah,
a lot of the time you're just sitting in the bushes a couple meters away from the guard and you're just going, well, I don't know where.
I just thought they were idiots, but I know, I think part of it is, though, if they're aware and looking for you, I think that it's realistic that they could spot you from ages away. But if they're not really expecting you to be there,
that's true, you could just run straight across their view and they won't notice.
I think it's got something to do with what the brain processes. Yeah. And so obviously they see it, but they just don't think of it as, oh, that's an emergency threat.
It seems to me, though, you know, once 20 of the outposts on the island have been had a hostile takeover, everyone's died in them. If you're guarding the 21st one, you'd think you might be a little more alert.
Yeah, especially since they've somehow got an infinite amount of pirates to summon from.
If they have this many pirates, like, that they can just keep on sending more and more, why don't they just, like, staff each outpost with, like, 100 of them?
Right, yeah, rather than
it would take a lot longer to take
it over. Maybe they need to, you know, somehow clone them, and it takes a little while, and so they've only got a limited amount that they can allocate.
They only have a certain amount that they can have active at one time.
Mm.
Maybe they're on strike or something as well.
Maybe there's like labor problems. Like, or, you know, economic reasons. Yeah. I mean, pirates have to get paid. Sure. They require food at the end of the day.
Yeah, maybe they need to keep their operating costs down.
They've got a family. Did you think of the pirates, Ben? Yeah. Did you think of the pirates?
I did. Mm. I thought of... You see, the problem is the game doesn't really try to make it that realistic at all in any sense.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of strange magical things going on, and you get tattoos out of nowhere, so They're not although trying to make it realistic, are they?
There's one scene in the game. There's one scene in the game where you see him give you a tattoo.
Yeah, but most of the time, you see the tattoo appear on your arm. You just hold out your arm and a fire happens and there's a tattoo there. I'm pretty sure that's how it happens in real life. Once you've had a few, they just start appearing. It's like cancer or something.
It's actually an interesting point, though, is realism in games. It's how... Because obviously every game, same as movies, is going to have unrealistic components.
Yeah, I usually only play very realistic games like Minecraft and, you know, real life I usually carry around hundreds of cubic meters of rock.
So. Yeah, exactly. Well, at least in your brain you might, and then spawn them.
Yeah, well...
Like that guy with the Earth ring in Captain Planet.
Yeah. Doesn't he just manipulate the Earth?
Yeah. Does really he? I thought he spawned Earth. What about the water chick? Think of it. She spawns water.
Yeah. So maybe she's pulling moisture out of the atmosphere. And, like, after that air is really dry.
Mm.
It's possible.
But see, I'm always in games as... Obviously, you accept that some part of it is going to be unrealistic, but there's always that moment when something just crosses the line too much and just annoys you.
It's the, what's it? God, what's it called? Come on. You know what this thing's called, right?
No, I've got no idea what you're talking about.
The Ben's just willing suspension of disbelief. So it's the same thing you have in any work of fiction. Yeah. Like, there's got to be some level of unrealism, but how much unrealism are you going to... is in this case, is the gamer going to accept?
Yeah. So an infinite supply of pirates seems feasible to me. But
I think the infinite supply of pirates isn't so much of a problem to me as the fact that they charge blindly towards you when you have a like RPG launcher, you've just blown up 20 of them. If somebody is just blowing up 20 other guys, I'm not going to keep running at him with a knife.
But you're not a pirate. You need to think like a mighty pirate. Even every pirate thinks they're Captain Jack Sparrow. Every single one of them thinks they can do whatever they want.
Okay.
Think of the berserker guy that comes with sticks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The guy who runs at you with a knife when you have a flamethrower and you just burnt like 10 of his friends. It's kind of that guy is an idiot.
What a moron.
I don't care how many infinite supply of pirates you have. They're not going to be that stupid.
Yeah. Well, at least we can pray that they're not.
Mm. I'll put it in my nightly prayer.
Oh, we forgot Will's book.
Oh, no. We did. We're going to read something from that.
Well,
we forgot a lot of things.
Maybe we'd have to...
We forgot a real computer.
Yeah, we're using a Mac here.
Yeah.
Mac Mini.
Mac Mini, even worse than a Mac.
It doesn't have speakers. It's got three USB slots.
The actual computer is like... What, about the size of a dinner plate?
If not, smaller, if that.
And obviously has no cooling solutions and is just a pile of shit. I don't know why anyone would purchase one.
Because they're mini and they're
Mac. No, they're small.
Yeah.
And they're portable, but these sit on this desk all the time, right? They never move. What's the point? The only value of having cheap. A tiny portable thing.
I think they're cheap.
Cheap for Macs, though. It still isn't that cheap.
God damn it. But, so we apologise, Will, you won't be getting your book back this week.
We could just photocopy pages.
Maybe we should do a special thing. Yeah, we were allowed to. Really? During we should do a special edition just to discuss it.
We could do a special
edition. Yeah, so listeners, just stay tuned because we will post another podcast sometime. So just a brief one.
Oh, so not a special edition of the podcast in a regular podcasting time. No.
Episode. Something to look forward to.
Well, that's a big promise. That means we're going to have to do a podcast more than once a month.
Woo!
I don't know if we're going to be able to manage it.
We can handle it.
Michael is saying we can. If we can't, it's probably because Michael is too busy, so
no, it's his promise. We'll handle it.
It's on him.
I've got this covered.
Okay,
good. There's something that came up in the news yesterday that I linked to you on Facebook that I thought was, I don't know, a good step forward for Australia and possibly a good chance for the coalition government to show a step backwards, was the introduction of funding for ethics classes rather than just religious classes, because previously you could get funding tax-free to go around teaching God at schools. And now, finally...
You can teach ethics.
Woo! Critical thinking.
To combat all that religion, we'll have some people actually doing good.
I'll never forget the example taught to us at school of the original sin. I'll never forget it. Okay, so the professor the professor of
professor
God
in Christianology
comes up to the front of the class and he's got a can of Coke and goes, "This is evil. This is the original sin." And he's like,
and then he pulled out a Pepsi and said, "Drink this and you'll go to heaven."
that was our Pepsi class. And then he got a glass of water and I was like, this is what life was like when there was just Adam and Eve. And then he had all these other cups lined up on the front bench. And he got the can of Coke. And he's like, once they got the apple off the tree, you know, and then poured heaps of Coke in the glass of water.
Oh, it's just ruined a perfectly good Coke and a perfectly good water.
And then he goes, and see, now, because all life came from Adam and Eve, no matter how many times we pour that Coke into more and more water, it's always the Coke water into, you get what I mean?
Yeah, it
that
sounds like homeopathy.
Yeah,
doesn't matter how much you dilute it, it's still there. Yeah.
So after a while, there was always going to be that original sin in our blood, and we need to wait till Jesus to forgive us, which he did when he died on the cross, which is now why we're pure. Makes perfect sense.
It makes a lot more sense now that I hear it in terms of Coke and homeopathy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I occasionally drink Coke, and of course, whenever I have any ailment, I use homeopathy. That's why I've got a cold right now, because I've been treating it with homeopathy. Got a bottle of water here.
I also placed in some cyanide homeopathy into your water.
No, good. That should cure me of AIDS cyanide or whatever. Remedy. I don't know.
But I don't know. I think it's almost a novelty, that story, that I want to cherish, because one day I hope when I've got kids, they'll ask me, you know, at school, what was it like? And I say, oh, we had religion come teach us in school. School was a place where it was acceptable to teach religious education, and I'll tell them that story. Yeah. And I hope they'll be like, you know, as shocked as I was when I first kind of realized what cigarette advertising meant. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the fact that religion used to be just taken into a school
and taught to children.
Although we can't say used to yet, it still is. Yeah, we've got a
At the moment, we haven't removed it from school. We've just included.
Yeah. Least we've gone one step. We've put something else in there, which, you know.
And I think the other thing
counteracts it,
especially with ethics/critical thinking classes, is it's not preaching really anything in particular. It's just teaching them to make decisions.
Yeah.
So if you do teach ethics classes, you're not saying you have to be an atheist or you have to be a theist or, you know, your worldview is wrong. You're just teaching them to develop the skills to make their own decisions.
Which is really the best thing you can do.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell someone their worldview is wrong. It's much easier for them to figure it out themselves. Yeah. Like, most people aren't going to listen if you tell them they're wrong.
And even the other thing as well is teaching critical thinking skills. Is even if someone is, say, does go down the theist path, at least they may have the critical thinking ability not to become insanely
delusional. Yeah, they might not become like a fundamentalist.
They might just be a reasonable.
But then, you know, maybe they'll apply logic. Christian. But apply it wrong. So, you know, you've taught them logic, but then they're going to go, oh,
use it against you.
I'm going to, like they'll go on the dark side. Mm-hmm. So they'll, instead of using logic properly and starting from, oh, is my religion true? They'll go, oh, my religion's definitely true. So I'll base all my logical decisions off that.
Mm.
And then they'll turn into a fundamentalist.
Scary.
Yeah. Well, oh, that's a nice smell, Michael.
Sorry, Ben. Burp there. Well, now I'm kind of with the coalition government. Maybe we shouldn't introduce critical thinking. You've scared me off.
Guys, I'm sorry. The last thing I wanted was to encourage anyone to support the coalition government.
I wish I had that book right now. That's got the best quote in it about the...
science book.
Yeah.
Well, science in quotation marks.
Book. Science.
What was it? Science for Catholic youths?
Science for young Catholics.
Young Catholics, yeah.
And there was the...
It's kind of like not give any spoilers, you know.
Yeah, keep them wanting
we'll
it.
Keep it all in the special episode so everyone has to watch it.
Woo!
I mean, listen to it. They could watch, too. They could stare at the screen.
Maybe we make it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Maybe we can make like an educational...
We can make a video.
Yeah.
Do we have a camera? Mm-mm. It'll be pretty crap quality.
Maybe that's what the listeners want, because we're pretty hideous.
Yeah.
I mean, sexy. True. I mean, well, we're too sexy to break their screen.
That's why I thought you meant by hideous.
Yeah, you knew exactly what I meant. Well, I really hate Max so much.
Yeah. Hopefully this episode isn't completely ruined by the fact it's been recorded on a Mac.
Oh, I was listening to something interesting today about Apple.
Yeah.
And it was saying, and also Google, but particularly Apple, was for some reason we give a really hard time to so many corporations. And I was listening to this, and I was saying, you know, we attack Big Pharma, you know, what's his face? Rupert Murdoch, Gina Reinhart, all these people. When Apple does equally sinister and evil things regularly, yeah. And for an example, what Apple's done is they've done a whole bunch of their, I know, trading and sales in this overseas area. So all of, say, paperwork for big selling. So they've avoided heaps of Australian government tax levy for importing their products, which means that as a consumer, you're paying more for an Apple product,
but there's less money going to the
Australian government.
It's all going to Apple.
Yeah, and so you're paying more for basically less as compared to, say, and I think Google has been doing a similar thing, and they're trying to work out how to combat it. So I'm not an economist. I don't understand
the... Or a lawyer, probably.
Yeah, but it's... You know, people give such a hard time to certain organizations based on their principle of what they stand for, but they actually rarely, you know, I like iPhones, good on you, Apple, but they're actually equally as evil. We kind of
forget pretty much any big corporation is evil. That's what you need to be a big corporation. You need to have some fairly morally bankrupt things going on to compete with all the other morally bankrupt corporations.
See, I often, in a way, inverted commas, defend corporations when people attack them. And it's not so much that I think the corporations aren't evil. And I would like to see a massive reduction in the power of corporations. But it's not as simple as just saying Monsanto is evil or this corporation is evil. Because it's actually really complicated because there's so... Oh, Big Pharma. Because all corporations fundamentally are just...
They're all doing the same thing. And they're all doing it because... That's what they need to do to be successful. It's like evolution of corporations.
Mm.
The most successful corporations are these big ones who have that kind of business
and model. And find the loopholes and things. And it's not any one particular person's fault. I mean, it's like, imagine how many people are actually working in a corporation.
And it's hard to fix the system. Like,
It's not like we
can pass one law in one country to fix everything.
Yeah.
It's going to take some time and a lot of global cooperation.
And a lot of anger. And that's why, that's why people don't...
A lot of, you know, suffering.
A lot of war, civil war.
A lot of...
World War IV.
Yeah.
This is after World War III.
Yeah, of course.
Because corporations are going to start World War III.
Yeah.
To fund more oil for...
Yeah. Well, did you know, I was looking at big corporations the other day, and I think 7 out of 10 of the top 10 corporations, publicly listed corporations... Yeah. Are big oil companies.
Really?
So I wouldn't be surprised if World War III is started by corporations over oil. And that's not even including like state-owned things like, you know, Saudi Aramco, which is probably the most valuable company in the entire world.
It's actually interesting. I know what's going to pan out as oil reserves do slowly reduce.
Yeah, it's going to be... a crazy time, I think.
And the other thing is no one actually knows... what the oil reserves are, because a lot of people are saying, oh no, this, like, Dubai has given an estimate that it's got enough oil in its reserves to fuel the whole world for the next 40 years or something at its current rate. But the thing is, of course you're going to say that to your shareholders, people want to buy stocks in your company, to, like, you're not going to be like, yeah, we don't have much oil left, things aren't looking too good for the company in, like, public public forums.
Everybody's doing fine, so they sell us all. Okay.
Then just one day, we're out of oil.
sorry
guys, share prices just plummet overnight.
Every Dubai plane just plummets.
That's
great. We didn't put oil in them this time, we ran out, so
we were just running on empty there.
Yeah, sorry.
A bit of urine in there, but Bear Grylls is on it, just like his urine Bear just fuels glide the plane. It down
safely.
just holds onto it, like manually does the flaps.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think because that whole corporation thing, we got in a discussion about Monsanto.
Yeah, we did.
But
something like that.
Yeah, someone wrote a big defense of them.
Yeah, we can link that with the podcast. It was quite a good read.
And I guess. One of the main...
Because you don't often read something positive about them.
there was a lot of negative criticism, and there was a lot of evil things that they have done, and I don't think people were denying that.
I don't think even the person writing the article was denying that. They were saying, okay,
GMO isn't that evil.
Yeah, Monsanto's done some bad things, but a lot of it's been blown out of proportion.
Like,
and that doesn't mean GMO is bad. Viagra isn't bad just because Pfizer has done some bad things, right?
And the example that I liked was, everyone's kind of saying, I think one of the most regularly heard arguments I hear is this idea that, you know, the GMO crops spread to someone else's, some dude's farm, and then Monsanto came in and sued the fuck out of him because he had their crops. But when I read the actual thing, according to Wikipedia and all the sources I found, peer-reviewed journals cited the exact incident, and they said what happened was, is Monsanto came in and said, hey, can you get rid of the crops? And he said, yep, that's fine. And he removed it all. Everything was all good. But he kept the seeds, and he replanted the seeds a few seasons later, and Monsanto came in and was like, why have you got at my crops? And so he took him to court, and he didn't use spreading as a defense. That was never raised as a defense.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't as though in that...
So it was more than aggressively... Like upholding their copyrights.
But that's fair enough. Like, if well, you, but no, because think
how,
of it this
it
way.
It depends how much you believe in, like, companies being able to do that.
If you've got a product, if you've got a product and you spent millions of dollars developing this crop, and you want to sell it, it's not, I know, in my eyes,
I suppose there's a lot more to it than just like the RIAA or the AAA. I don't know. The RIAA have many A's they want, like suing, you know, whoever downloaded some music off Napster or something.
Yeah, it's because it's like, you know, they've spent so much money developing this crop, and it's not, I don't think it's fair for farmers just to be able to gank it, because, you know, you have to pay a license fee to use that crop.
Yeah.
And I know it comes down to, you know, GMO, should the gene pool be, you know, free to kind of access, or...
It's kind of like, maybe not quite the same, but it's tied into the patenting of human genes. Mm. Like, these are, I suppose, genes that Monsanto has created themselves or modified. But there are also companies that have just patented genes from the human genome. Like, genes we've all got. So, big parts of us are owned by companies.
I think that's totally fucked.
Yeah.
I don't get how they did that, because it just
prevents progress.
Well,
it's because there's loopholes in the law.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the kind of thing, I guess, we need to fix in the system, so... Corporations can't take advantage of that, but they can still protect their interests where it's needed.
And it's hard also to define that limit, because someone may create a modified human gene, which, and I think that's kind of fair enough.
I don't think you should be able to paint in a gene which makes us all glow in the dark, because that would be fucking awesome, and I don't want to have to pay, like, you know, $1 million for it.
But then no one's going to develop it if they don't make money off it.
I would.
If you had the skills. I guess the only solution is to have the government run all research for general interest of the public.
Yeah, and that's going to cost a lot.
Yeah.
So we'll have to cut funding for something like a national broadband network. Coalition would be in favour of that.
Woo!
Fucking coalition. Tony Abbott.
I love Tony Abbott's quote. Did you hear it? 5 megabits per second, or you're perfectly fine for all Australia's internet needs for the next 25 years. When have I heard a technology quote like that before? How many times
have
people said...
How many times have people said, oh, nobody will ever need to have a computer in their own home?
Or Bill Gates, you know, 512 kilobytes of RAM is more than any computer user will ever need.
Yeah. Speaking of the future of computers, I think it's only probably 10 or 20 years before Moore's Law is not going to work anymore. Current electronics probably have... I think it's like 50 atoms of silicon. That's it. Just 50 atoms of silicon is the gap in the transistors. Like, that's tiny.
Yeah.
They're going to get to a point where quantum effects come in and it's not going to work at all.
Yeah, because I read that they had... they've developed a lot of technology, I don't want to say quantum hardware or something, because I don't actually understand.
There is quantum computing. That's a new field. Like, that's probably going to be the next generation of computers.
I read they made an unstable, it was like 1 million terabytes, capable of storing 1 million terabytes or something. But it was totally unstable, and it had to be computers.
Yeah, it's a really new field, though. But the problem is, I reckon, the first quantum computers are going to be really shit.
Yeah.
And the first software made for them... I don't know how different punch it's cards. Be. No, I don't. No,
I don't remember, but you get the gist.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a plateau of the current technology getting cheaper and more refined.
Yeah, and there's going to be probably a long period where the two both exist.
Mm.
And well, I just hope that quantum computing can stay like economical.
Yeah, they may end up having different purposes as well. For a business that can afford, say, a huge building to store their computer, may go along and just have this massive warehouse.
By the time we're old men, servers. We'll hopefully have quantum computers.
Yeah.
Just in our homes.
I wonder, because I reckon there might be a period in which it's like a novelty. Like you install it in your garage, it'll be really big. I can't imagine it
being that big.
I don't think the actual like hardware will be that big. But from the pictures I've seen of the unstable ones, it's in this massive like research lab with all this stuff just supporting it, so the remain stable. That was a while ago. I'm relatively out of date.
That's kind of stuff now, but the current silicon based like bit computers that just have ones and zeros instead of these qubits and stuff, the current ones aren't gonna stop working. Like Moore's law isn't gonna stop going until 2020, 2030, at least. So,
and then it may get. I think I was talking to you about it. I think another big step in computers is gonna be making everything a lot more universal and simple.
So I don't think so. Not if Macs stay around. Nothing will be universal with Macs.
But I was thinking, for an example, every time we upgrade our graphics card, we pretty much just have to chuck the old one in the bin. Yeah. But part of me thinks, I don't know, because I don't know that much about hardware. So I'm just, this is mindless speculation. But part of me feels like there's...
It'd be good if this was a video. We could have like a little alert down the bottom saying baseless speculation just flashing.
You know, like aspects of the old graphics card or components can be replaced into a new one. So you can like get bits together and... At the moment, technology is really inaccessible.
The thing with most hardware, I think the way they make it better than the last one is just by cramming more onto it.
Yeah.
Like making the bits smaller and cramming more on. Not necessarily like this one's also got an umbrella, so it's better. Yeah.
There's like, I know, I was thinking about it as well in terms of, someone gave the example with VCRs, you can kind of pull it apart and you can actually see how it works. And you don't need an insanely complex knowledge to know how, say, a videotape works as compared to an iPhone or a current graphics card. You're like, what is this actually doing? Yeah. And it's a lot harder...
I don't know. On a basic level, you can understand, like, all the little transistors, right? Each of them is either on or off.
And it produces...
produces a bit for you. All the ones and zeros.
Yeah.
Like, well, they're not ones and zeros in the graphics card. I guess they're voltages, like the high voltages and low voltages. But they translate to ones and zeros and your software.
On a videotape, I just say, there's this strip... this magnetic strip, and it has images on it, and you just put it in the thing, and it just projects there. But the magnetic strip
doesn't have images on it.
What?
Per se, right?
Doesn't it? I thought it did. You know, like old camera films.
No, it's not like a negative. I'm pretty sure it's not.
No, it's not.
Like that.
It's not a negative. my understanding of VCRs is... You're thinking of a
film. That's how films work.
They still work like that?
Oh, I don't know. I think they're probably... phase those out by now.
Yeah.
Like, actually, I don't know. Cinemas are still pretty far behind. They're like showing in 30 frames per second.
There's a few big issues currently with the film industry because lots of cinemas want to move in Australia to having digital streaming.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot easier to pay for it's more economical, etc. It's
better every way.
But we don't have the national broadband network, so it's too laggy, and so we get all these like major problems with lag.
Welcome to Australia.
Because a full size movie is huge.
Yeah. Uncompressed video. An hour of uncompressed video, you can be like, hundreds of terabytes.
We don't have the network capabilities just yet.
Not quite.
Get out the.
A lot of the time, even in places where they do have better networks, like when you're transferring a lot of stuff, it's cheaper to, like, it's more economical and faster to send it, like courier, just on a memory stick or something. Like if it's really big, like in the terabytes.
Yeah, lots of... In Australia, it's once you get into like 700 megabytes, it's pretty much faster to drive.
Well, that one's 100 megabytes, so better just drive it over.
Yeah, drive it pretty much, eh?
Yeah.
But yeah, let's hope that quantum computing gets in and we get a good national broadband network and maybe we can go to the cinema and...
Maybe one day.
Watch it in ultra high definition.
Speaking of digital downloads of movies and things like that, the Xbox One announcement recently, they were talking about... I think it was at the Xbox One.
Yeah, that went over my head, the whole Xbox One.
It was absolutely shit.
That's all anyone told me. Like, well, why wasn't I going to watch this?
Yeah, it was the worst crap. Like, I watched a bit of it, and it's just... I don't know. It was Microsoft pandering to everyone who doesn't care. Like, they were pandering to the people who weren't watching it. Nobody who was in their target audience of what seemed to be their target audience based on watching it would have been watching that thing. The only people.
What was it?
They were, like, showing clips of sports and things, just random crap saying, oh, it can control your whole living room. It's like, what? Why do I care? I want to know what games I can play on it.
Can you explain
to me? I want to know when the next Halo is coming out.
What is the Xbox One? Can you summarize it for me?
It's an Xbox with a built-in Kinect and slightly better specs and much worse specs than the PS4.
So I saw this funny GIF and it was like these dogs running. And then one of them, and then on top of this, got PS4. And for a split second, the Wii U just comes out and tumbles away for like literally a second of the GIF. And then Xbox One comes in and tries to catch up with the head dog running. Yeah. And then it just hits a pole and falls down. And PS4 just like heads into the GIF and then it restarts.
That's very accurate. That's pretty much what Microsoft did with their press conference thing. Mm. But the thing I wanted to talk about was the used games thing. Have you heard people complaining about that? Oh, all over the internet, mostly Reddit probably. Oh, so
you have to pay for each use of the game?
Yeah, the games are just like going to be set up. I'm pretty sure Sony's doing the same thing.
Like Zynga? Are they made by Zynga?
God damn it, I hope not. If Zynga ever makes a console game.
Makes a console?
That would be the worst.
And you have to insert your credit card to make it run?
Pretty much.
But yeah, what...
Well, they're going to stop, used games from being able to work by having, like, a one-time activation code and having always-on console, which is stupid, having a console that's always-on. I don't plug my Xbox into the...
What happens if you unplug it?
No, always-on is always plugged into the internet.
So,
like, I don't even plug my Xbox into the internet because... Like, Xbox Live costs money. What the hell?
I think companies at the moment... that's the other thing, PSN Network will be free, so... Woo,
yeah.
PlayStation!
I'm pretty much definitely getting a PS4 in the next gen, because... PS3 so far, Microsoft has given me nothing to make it look better than the PS4.
PS3 and Xbox, the only reason I got the Xbox was I had Halo, and it was slight... And it just had... It was more convenient for
Xbox
me at the time.
Xbox had a lot of games
on it. It was like half the price.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I'll get it. And there was no reason to get the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, PS4 should be cheaper. And like, it's just using normal architecture. It would be easier to make games for it. So, like, it's just better in every way.
And the thing is if you get a console, you actually want it to be good. Like, as a dedicated gaming platform.
Really?
It's a no, but you know, like, graphics-wise, hardware-wise.
You want it to not suck. And I don't know. Like, the Wii kind of sucked.
Yeah.
Hardware-wise. But... We still got them
because
they were really
cheap. But Wii was like a board game to me. It was like a family thing you have in the cupboard and you get it out for like a little fun time. But it wasn't... I don't know anyone that was a pro Wii gamer.
There were no real games on the Wii.
Yeah, it was all just like... It was like a board game, you know what I mean? Yeah.
There were a couple of games I got into, like the Zelda.
Mm.
That was a good one. But, yeah.
Again,
I mean,
novelty.
The only like really... Even the best of the good games were all Nintendo games, you know, games made by Nintendo, which has always been a Nintendo thing, hasn't it? Just make your own games because they seem to be good at that.
That good old Nintendo.
Yeah.
And we'll censor our own games as well, which is another story altogether.
Yeah. They're good at something. They're a big old corporation, of course. They're going to do evil things. it's their job.
Big look. Yeah, I think that's...
I don't mind big evil corporations being evil. I just don't like it when they're incompetent, like Microsoft was with this Xbox announcement. It's just like they did everything wrong and they don't have a single person on staff or who they could even ask who cares about gaming. It's like everybody there just knows nothing about what a gamer wants.
Yeah, the general market of gaming.
Just, that we'll just show them sports and Call of Duty. That's what the kids like these days.
Then put it to dubstep. Yeah. We can't get any licensing for dubstep music. Aww.
Damn it. That was our big thing. No dubstep music.
Oh, Microsoft. But yeah. I think that's...
Wow, that's quite... quite a good job of blabbering on for 40 minutes or so almost.
So we hope you're still listening to this, dear listener.
not fast asleep.
We want to give a shout out to the Fireside Chronicles Network.
Woo!
Because we're kind of allying with them. We're still going to be going through our normal platform.
Are we going to be like officially part of their, you know, yeah, their empire?
We're going to be part of them, but we're still going to have our own.
They'll be our head of state, but we'll have our own head of government kind of who like does the day to day stuff. It's like
the Netherlands Antilles or whatever.
Well, it'll be kind of like Australia and the UK, you know.
Yeah.
Like Phil is our queen, and we have him on our money, but we don't really see him very much.
So yeah, you can now access our podcast and other great podcasts at tfcnetwork.com, is that right?
I don't know.
We'll just look up Fireside Chronicles.
We'll put a link to it.
Yeah, we'll put a link to it.
In the episode.
But for all our regular subscribers, you don't need to worry about resubscribing. You don't need to worry about any of that. You can still go to brainexchangepodcast.com.
Yeah.
Tweet us at brainexchangepodcast. Email us at brainexchangepodcast@gmail.com.
Go to Facebook.
Go to Facebook, like us.
Look us up, Brain Exchange Podcast. Google Plus,
Brain Exchange Podcast. Really any... there's a lot of ways to get in contact.
We're on YouTube too.
Yeah, and if you want to show us, you know, show your friends, we know that linking MP3s isn't cool anymore, so you can link them our YouTube videos.
Yeah, and they have a nice graphic on there. Yeah. It's our logo.
Made by Phil at Fireside Chronicles.
Our queen.
So
God save Phil.
God save Phil, and have a good evening.